And welcome back. For three quarters of a century, the Bach Society of St. Louis has been bringing the works of Johann Sebastian Bach and other great masters to St. Louis audiences. While the concerts are always well received, perhaps the most popular is the annual Christmas Candlelight Concert, now in its 65th year. It will be performed by the Bach Society Chorus and Orchestra Thursday night at Powell Hall and will feature a wide variety of holiday music, from the traditional to the contemporary. With me to talk about the group and its music are Dr. A. Dennis Sparger, the Bach Society Music Director and Conductor. Also with us is Melissa Payton, the Executive Director and Principal Singer. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
A delight to be with you today.
Thank you.
Well, are you all ready to go Thursday night?
We're ready to go. We had a rehearsal last night with a chorus and about half of our string sections and harp to kind of solidify some of the nuts and bolts of the music, and that went so well. Tonight we have a full dress rehearsal on the stage of Powell Hall, and we're quite excited about it.
Melissa, how difficult is it to gear up for a concert like this?
I'll tell you, it's a lot of work, but it's so much fun. Whenever we come to rehearsals in September and start rehearsing Christmas music, it's so exciting, and getting to hear all those familiar tunes, and, you know, we have a blast doing it.
You know, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a candlelight procession, particularly when wonderful music is being played along with it. It's going to be wonderful.
And I really think that is the audience's favorite point in the concert. It's become such a tradition for so many families, and that special, serene moment whenever the chorus is processing throughout the hall and singing these familiar carols and hymns, it's just so beautiful.
Dennis, in preparing a program such as this one, what sort of things are you dealing with and contending with and trying to make this the better program of the last series?
What a challenge, year after year that they're done so well. Well, the first thing I do is I have to start with a very big stack of music and look at a lot of possibilities and then start trimming it down and trimming it down. And I want to have a piece that's rather exciting and uplifting. And in a little while, we'll hear a sample of what we did last year or the year before. And then I also want to find a piece that's really special and tender and lovely, beautiful, haunting. Have something that might be new and fresh, but also to find new arrangements of familiar carols so the audience feels like they're invested in the music as well.
How do you balance that in terms of how much of one or the other?
Well, it's just a matter of trusting my instinct. Years ago, I read that book called Blink that talks about when you're working in the area where you have the greatest amount of background and training and knowledge, go ahead and trust your gut. And quite often, that's what I have to do. Our Christmas Candlelight Concert has become a little bit of an established format of knowing that we want to do kind of a big chunk of like a major work on the first half by Bach or Handel. We've done like a movement from the Christmas Oratorio or a part of Handel's Messiah. This year we're doing John Rutter's setting of Magnificat, My Soul Magnifies the Lord. So that pretty well takes care of the first half. But on the second half, after that candlelight procession, we want to have as many carols as we can possibly squeeze in.
Melissa, what about from the performer's point of view? What's it like for the performers, the singers?
It is the most amazing experience to sit on the stage at Powell Hall and watch that full audience of 2,500, 2,600 people and the energy that they bring to the room and how excited they are to hear the music that you're going to present. And then I'll tell you the very best part is sitting up there and being able to sing at the top of your lungs with a full, loud orchestra. Don't tell Dennis. We're supposed to be blending better than we do, but sometimes it's just fun to sing loud and sing out and thrilling for all of us.
There is something about Christmas music that really brings that out in people, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've brought some music along with you, Dennis.
We have.
You give us some sense of what it is that we're talking about
right now,
and what it sounds like.
This is music we have performed, so you're going to be listening to a little brief excerpt of us.
Will we hear Melissa in the background screaming at the top of her lungs?
You better not. She's trained to blend. But we thought we'd start with a little bit of the opening of Angels We Have Heard on High in a new arrangement by Barlow Bradford.
All right, let's do that.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
What fun.
What fun.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always amazed as someone who is not very musical. How many people are involved in it? How many singers, musicians?
I think we have 56 singers in the chorus, 48 in the orchestra. We're joined by the St. Louis Children's Choirs with 108 singers, plus a soprano soloist coming in from Chicago.
So that's 200, if I'm
right. Yes,
thereabouts 200. You know, you talk about having rehearsals, and what I started to say was someone like myself, watching all of these people work together, start together and end together and be perfect throughout. I mean, it just seems to me that you'd have to work for days and days and days to make that happen.
Well, normally we have 7 or 8 rehearsals to prepare a concert. And then at the end, 1 or 2 dress rehearsals, and that does it. Otherwise, everyone prepares their music at home, come into rehearsal, ready to work on what we have scheduled for that night. But the singers always know several days in advance what's going to be covered in the next rehearsal.
Luckily, we only have a couple of pieces that need to be memorized, so we get to use our music.
Well, Lisa, tell me about that preparation at home. I mean, are you in the shower singing, or do you have a special room, or how do you do it?
Well, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and she's used to hearing me wail away in the office and practice some of my notes from time to time. Especially some of the melodies within the Rudder piece are pretty challenging, so going over those is really important so that we're making sure that everything is clear and we're right on point. But I'll tell you, the hardest part is during the candlelight processional when we have to walk and sing at the same time, right, left. Uh-huh. Right.
Yes, that's right. You've got to be in marching mode.
Yes. Absolutely. And I wasn't in marching band, so.
Uh-huh. Well, you've got children, young people also involved in this, which much also bring that's another component.
It's a wonderful portion. We've always had a youth chorus perform in the candlelight concerts. We've had high school choirs and the Archdiocese and children's choirs, but for many years we've used the St. Louis Children's Choirs. Barbara Berner is just, a magician with young voices. These singers are just so well-trained. And they just sing beautifully.
What is their age range?
I think the group that we're getting this year is probably from about 12 to 17. Do you think that's right?
I think that's correct.
Last year, we had their very youngest singers because they have multiple choirs in their program. I think they have close to 500 singers altogether. So Barbara will select which of the choirs will come to participate in this.
Are these youngsters who, for the most part, particularly with the young men, are their voices have changed, or are they...
No, unchanged, all unchanged. Treble voices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you saw a piece on 60 Minutes this weekend where they had the papal choir, and it was really quite an interesting piece how these young men would reach the age of 12 or so, and then they'd have to move on.
And they're out, You know, some of the great composers also sang in boys' choirs, but that far back, going back to, like Schubert and composers like this, that because of their diet, their voices didn't change until they were 16 or even 18.
Because of their diet?
They weren't fed very well. No McDonald's. What little they had to survive on, the body didn't mature at the same rate.
And Melissa, you were involved in something called the Young Artists Program.
I was.
What is that, and what was your involvement?
Well, I started singing with the Bach Society in 2004 as their soprano young artist. And our Young Artist Program is for young professionals who have finished their undergraduate career, but they're looking for more performance and professional opportunities. So that's when I started singing with the Bach Society and got the opportunity to cover some solos for some major works and perform at some of our fundraising events, which was a really great experience for me as a young singer. So I did that for 4 years, and then I got to be an old artist, got kicked out, sopranos.
Had a baby somewhere along the line.
Got rehired in another budget line.
But I've continued on. I still sing in the chorus as a principal singer and then have been the executive director for about 3.5 years now.
Dennis, how long do the singers normally stay with you?
It really varies. A few years ago, we had a singer retired who spent 58 years with us. And then another one who retired after 39 years, another one after 25 years. And other singers come to stay for a year or two, and then they're off to graduate school somewhere, or a change in jobs, or a husband who might be transferred. So it's a very wide range.
Or a wife who might be transferred.
Yes, yeah.
Let's
all of this can happen, yes.
Let's get this straight. Yeah. You with me on that, Melissa?
Yes.
Let's listen to some more of the music and hear some of these folks that were with you last year.
Ah, yes. And Howard Helvey is a Missouri-born composer, now lives in Cincinnati, and this is a carol that he wrote a few years ago, Love Came Down at Christmas.
Something about that is so relaxing.
Oh,
I just kind of want to just go.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
There's really nothing better at Christmas time than just hearing a gorgeous choir sing, I think.
It is. Yeah. You can hardly have Christmas without a choir.
What about singing along? Does the audience have an opportunity?
Well, we do have a few opportunities for the audience to sing along with the chorus and the orchestra, and we walk out into the hall and surround the audience to sing with them. And then at the very end, there's an encore that does include the audience for those who stay. We know there are a lot of St. Louis audiences. They get to that final applause, and they're out.
Yeah.
And so they miss it. But for everyone who sits and waits just a little bit longer, there's a lovely encore that includes them.
And the encore might include what in this particular
case? Well, it includes all of the performers.
In terms of musical selections.
You'll have to come and find out.
Oh, well,
I'm not going
pleasure.
To tell you. But it closes with the audience singing a cappella. Huh. The orchestra stops, and it's just the house of 2,500, 2,600 people singing together in harmony. It almost brings a tear. It does bring a tear to your eye to hear something that exquisite.
And Melissa, performing at Powell, the acoustics are perfect. Everything is perfect for this sort of thing. How different is it performing there as opposed to any place else?
That's a really good question. I mean, we're not as close to the audience, I'll say that. We have these beautiful decorations, and the acoustics are a bit different. We have a lot more space to allow for a much larger orchestra and a bigger sound, so I think we can do a lot more of the bigger works there, which is nice. And we have access to a lot more people at that venue, which is just so wonderful, moving from the smaller church venues that we normally use.
Sure. And Dennis, that must weigh into the selections that you make as far as the program is concerned.
Yes, yeah. And knowing that we can have an orchestra of 46, 48, 54, and a few years ago. Another great thing about that hall is the first class stage crew that takes care of everything for us and the whole management of the house. Everything just works perfectly.
Let's talk specifically about the program for Thursday night. And I'll just, before I fail to mention, it's 7:30 at Powell Hall.
Yes, 7:30.
And that's happening at the Christmas Candlelight Service. So tell us what the program consists of.
Well, we begin with a really festive, fanfare-type arrangement of Joy to the World that really instills the Christmas spirit
by the time
it gets to the end. And then I have to talk to the audience for 2 or 3 minutes to let the chorus rest so they can sing the next piece. And then Emily Bresson will join us to do John Rutter's. Now, John Rutter is the patron saint of Christmas carols. He's arranged dozens and dozens of them. And this is a longer work of his called My Soul Magnifies the Lord. And that takes care of the first half. After intermission, we come back with the candlelight procession, followed by a set of three carols, What Child Is This?, Away in a Manger, and The Snow Lay on the Ground, just a very recently published work. The audience sings, the children's choirs come on stage and they sing three pieces, another audience carol. I come back on stage with Emily for Lullaby for the Christ Child by a Canadian composer. Then a very inspiring arrangement of I Saw Three Ships. And then a piece that we've never done before, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh, that's a favorite.
Gorgeous arrangement. Oh, we just love it. Then the children will join us, and we've never done this before, Jingle Bells, and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And then the encore at the end. So the evening just flies by.
You don't think Johann Sebastian Bach is turning in his grave when he hears the jingle bells, do you?
Oh, no. Bach knew how to make a dollar. He would have been proud. Now, we're not doing any Bach on this concert, but we did some Bach in our fall concert, and we're doing lots of Bach in our final concert of the year.
This is something that's really important to point out, that you're not limited only at ever to just Bach.
That on this concert, doing something like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and Jingle Bells, that's probably the 1% that is not sacred music that we perform. Otherwise, we're committed to the music of Bach or in the spirit of Bach.
Melissa, Dennis had indicated that it can be wearing on the performers, that they need to rest. How taxing is it to be singing for a couple of hours and at the top of your potential?
And four nights in a row.
Right, yeah, that's what right, I was going to exactly. say. That's the tough part about it. I think most of our singers have been singing most of their lives, and they're pretty conditioned to last for a performance that long. But when you have three dress rehearsals during the evening leading up to a big performance like that, it can be quite a lot. Luckily, the music is varied, so there are some things that give us a little bit of a rest, a little lighter side. I'll tell you, my husband always tells me the favorite part of the concert for him is always the song that comes right after our candlelight processional. It's always an a cappella piece that we have memorized, and this year we have a special arrangement of What Child Is This that's just so lovely, and my favorite part is listening to the tenors during that portion of this
exciting
the song.
Moment, yes.
Yeah, but it's a really, really lovely piece. I'm excited about that.
Well,
one.
I heard this piece performed last year at a concert by the Ambassadors of Harmony. And I loved it so well, I got in touch with the arranger, and I said, no, I need a soprano, alto, tenor, bass arrangement of this. And he complied and sent me one within the month.
We have another little clip of music that we can play as our time is winding down here. Let's do that, and you can explain it for us.
And this is Fum, 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 arranged by Mac Wilberg, who conducts the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
All right, well, let's listen to that as we prepare to say goodbye. And we are back. It's almost time to say goodbye, but let me remind the audience that the Bach Society Chorus and Orchestra will perform its annual Christmas Candlelight Concert Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at Powell Hall. And as we prepare to leave here, I am told that this group, the Bach Society of St. Louis, is included in the BBC Music Magazine's list of top 20 live Christmas events in North America.
Wow.
How nice for you all.
Yes, big honor.
Dennis Parker, thank you for being with us. Good luck on Thursday
great
night.
To see
break
you.
A leg, as they say.
Thank
Melissa,
you.
Thank you so much for Melissa Payton. You'll be performing as well?
I will,
okay.
Yes.
Well, something to look forward to. Thank you all.
Thank you
all. Thank you for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.